Welcome to the podcast for Hartford City Church, where we intend to post the sermons from our Sunday morning preaching. At this point, we're still trying to figure out in the space we're in how to do that. So today I'm just going to record a synopsis or summary or recap of the sermon that I preached this past Sunday, August 30th. Our space, by the way, is the Learning Corridor in Hartford. It's 15 Vernon Street in Hartford, Connecticut. So this will sound more like a regular podcast this week, and if you've already heard the message, then this will be a little different for you. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you'll know the important points and messages that I was trying to bring on Sunday morning. So first of all, this message is about how God provides and blesses us anytime, anywhere, and sometimes in very unexpected places. So I began with the story of when I was in Honduras several years ago. I was traveling in that country with a group of teenagers and adults, and we were there just to help different churches and to learn about the country, and it was an amazing experience. We spent 2 weeks working really hard, planting coffee plants, visiting schools, visiting orphanages, doing music concerts and drama presentations and any kind of manual labor that was needed wherever we went. And it was a pretty rewarding yet exhausting 2 weeks. At the end of the trip, we had scheduled to spend some time on the north coast of Honduras, which is very beautiful. It's on the Caribbean Ocean. And so we were traveling there for a little two-day debrief and relaxation time before we headed home. Now, the day we were traveling there was a long traveling day, and we were packed into vans, and it was maybe an 8 to 10 hour drive. It was very hot, very humid. And about halfway through the trip, we stopped to get some gas, and I was worn out. I was tired. I was hot. I may have been a little bit cranky. Happens occasionally when I'm on these trips. But I was just really, really thirsty. And what entered my mind was I really wanted a Dr. Pepper. You see, sometimes when you travel to other countries, they don't have everything that you're used to, and you miss it. So it appeared to me that this country of Honduras did not have Dr. Pepper. Like, they did not understand the wonderfulness of that drink. Coca-Cola, yes, and other types of drinks, yes, but I was really just thinking, man, an ice-cold Dr. Pepper would just really hit the spot right now. So while we were getting gas, I noticed that there was this kind of a grocery convenience store just across the parking lot. So I walk across this parking lot and I go inside and I see that they have coolers in the back. And then I walk back to the coolers and I just kind of want to open the door and stick my head in. It was so hot. And as I did that, I looked on the shelf and there sitting by itself was one single can of Dr. Pepper. Yeah, it was like something out of the movies, like a light was shining on it, like it was a vision. I didn't know if it was real or not, but I grabbed that can of Dr. Pepper and I took it up and paid for it. Even the lady kind of looked at it like I'd never seen this before. And I just felt like, oh, the Lord provided for me in the midst of the long, hot traveling day with a bunch of teenagers. The Lord just provided an ice cold Dr. Pepper. And of course, I got back to the group and some of the other kids were like, hey, where'd you get that? I'm like, oh, it was at that store over there. And a couple of them ran over and said, oh, we want to get one too. And I just kind of laughed and thought to myself, well, no, you're not. But they found out that there was no other Dr. Peppers there. Truly, I believe the Lord had provided that Dr. Pepper for me, that provision in an unexpected place. Now, I know it seems kind of silly, these stories, and sometimes we attribute everything to God when really it's just a matter of coincidence or happenstance. But in this particular case, it was small and somewhat insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but it was meaningful to me because it brought me closer to God in a way of giving him thanks, even for the smallest of blessings. And I think that it would be good for all of us to remember to bless God and thank God even for the smallest things in our lives. So when I talk about God providing and blessing us, I wanted to speak about Psalm 23. I believe that Psalm 23 talks about how God provides and blesses for us. It talks about where he does that and exactly how that happens. And that's what I want to focus on in this podcast. So I talked about how Psalm 23 is maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:16 and the Lord's Prayer probably are up there as well. But those two, along with Psalm 23, definitely are the parts of scripture that a lot of people know, even if they aren't Christians or they don't go to church. And so in the reading of Psalm 23, you know, it's everybody's kind of heard the language and they're kind of familiar with it. And on Sunday morning, we had the opportunity to read it both in English and Spanish, which was really cool. But here is Psalm 23 in English. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such a beautiful psalm, right? Beautiful words. One of my favorite things about the psalm is it starts off with a nap. It says that God is our shepherd, and the first thing he does is he has me lie down in green pastures. And boy, that just sounds so calm and so inviting, doesn't it? And then it says he refreshes my soul. It's almost like you're getting a drink of clean, cool water. Then he leads me on this path, right? And you can just kind of picture this path, beautiful path winding through hills with green grass, and everything's nice, right? And then you get to this part where you enter the dark valley, the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, you know, and everything gets kind of scary and dark, and you're afraid. And but then, you know, you come out of the valley because there's this table. God provides this beautiful table. It says in the presence of enemies, but, you know, I never even understood what that meant. I just kind of overlooked that. It also says that I'm not afraid because God is with me. So in the valley, he's got this rod and the staff. So God is like this warrior, this great warrior with a couple of awesome weapons that can just defend me against anything. So it always felt comforting to hear this psalm as a child. In fact, my mom would read this psalm to me several nights when I was young. That's how I learned it. And she would read it because it would help me get to sleep at night. You know, it kind of calmed me a little bit. But that idea that God's there to protect me. And then there's this table. And this table is what I want to talk about. It's this awesome table. Everything's laid out for us. I kind of pictured it was like an English tea garden party, you know, with sunshine. It's out in this open meadow. And my there's oil put on my head and my cup's overflowing. And goodness and love are with me. You know, and I'm walking then, get up from the table. And I'm walking in the sunshine with God all the days of my life. And then, of course, you know, when I die, I'll go to heaven and I'll be with God forever. Beautiful, beautiful picture, but not quite accurate to I believe what the psalm was really saying. For you notice that in the middle of this psalm, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table for me. Right there. The table's not in some shiny meadow after the valley. The table is actually in the valley. The table is prepared in the midst of the enemies, right? The part I never understood. And the enemies are found in the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, which, friends, is really life. All of us know that we're going to die. Death is going to come to everyone. Every single person has been touched by death, and we all face the same fate. So this life is difficult. You know, this life is full of enemies. It's full of danger. It's full of trials and temptations. But right in the midst of that, in the middle of that situation, God prepares a table for us. And the table, of course, is symbolic of God's presence, that he is with us and that we are with him. I think a lot of times we're waiting for things to get better. We're waiting for situations to change so that we can experience that awesome moment with God. We want to get out of the valley and get up on the mountaintop because that's where we experience God's presence. But God's presence, Psalm 23, is not found on the mountaintop. It's found down in the valley. It's almost as if you're walking along and things are looking dark and dreary, and God just stops and says, all right, let's have lunch right here, throws out a blanket, spreads out a table, says, let's sit down and eat. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But for David, who wrote this psalm, David was the most famous and best king that Israel had. David was a shepherd before he became a king. And so this image was drawn from his own life. And he said, listen, right there in the midst of the enemies, I've had to fight off lions and bears, David said. I've had to, you know, there's all kinds of things that threaten the sheep. But it's almost like you're a witness to your enemies when you can just stop and you can just eat a meal and you're not concerned about the battle or the confrontation or the danger. But it's almost a in-your-face kind of, I don't care, I'm not afraid of you. but I can sit down and I can have a meal right here in the presence of my enemies. And I think that's the way David wrote it, because when he was king, he had lots of enemies. He had lots of battles and wars that he had to fight in order to make the kingdom of Israel to be at peace, to establish them and have them be safe from all of their enemies. But I believe that that this table idea and the idea of our enemies being there gets expanded upon throughout the Bible. For later on, Jesus, who also said, "I am the good shepherd," Jesus used that image of the shepherd as a leader, said, you are to love your enemies, to pray for them, to bless them. Well, wait a minute. You know, so it's not just that they're standing there at the table, but I really believe that when he says we should feed our enemies, that we should give them something to drink, the Apostle Paul says that as well, that we're realizing that this table is a place where our enemies can be invited to sit down with us. Now, often a table back in the biblical times could be just a blanket that was spread out on the ground. And that reminds me of a time where I kind of experienced this firsthand in my own life. I was visiting a country that was completely Muslim. In other words, it was 99% people who belonged to the Islamic faith. And it was not okay for someone from that country to be a Christian. But if you were from outside the country, you know, it was okay. They kind of respected that. So we were visiting. We were being shown the country. We were visiting a mosque, a brand new mosque that was beautiful, that had been built. And kind of being given, you know, the royal tour, so to speak. While we were there, there were some Muslim brothers from Afghanistan who were there to encourage the people in this country. You know, it's a stronger faith in Islam. And when they saw that we were there, they immediately spread out this blanket. They put out a table. I mean, right there in the presence of what, you know, the world thinks are enemies, you know, Muslims and Christians. A table was spread. We sat down. They actually passed anointing oil, but in their culture, you put a little anointing oil on your wrist, and it's a sign that you're welcome there. And then they passed around some biscuits and some food to eat, and we shared. We shared hospitality. We shared a meal together, which is very, very significant. And I began to realize that these Muslims are not my enemies when we sit down to a meal, but rather there's an opportunity for enemies to become friends and to even maybe hear and receive the good news of God's love for them. I believe that that's what Jesus and Paul would say. This table from Psalm 23 is a table that has spots open at it, open for those so-called enemies to sit down. Because in the end, we have no real enemies. I mean, you know, Jesus says that he died for everyone, that there is, you know, everyone's created by God. God desires to have a relationship with everyone. Doesn't mean that he will, but that's his desire. So what we see here in Psalm 23 is that there's an opportunity for us to invite people to receive the goodness, the provision, and the blessings of God. So this table happens anytime, anywhere, which means that we don't have to wait for some special moment, but we can experience God's presence at any time, anywhere in our life. Even in this moment, as you're listening to this podcast, wherever you're at, God may be throwing a blanket down right now and saying, "Hey, I want you to experience my presence right here in this moment," because that's where it happens. A lot of times God will not change our position until he changes our perspective. Think about that one. God won't change our position until he changes our perspective. So let's just talk real quickly about a couple things that happened at this table. It says that the Lord anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Now, the anointing with oil, like I mentioned in the Islamic culture, was a sign of welcome. Well, it was, you know, back in Jesus' time as well. Jesus went to the house of Simon the Pharisee and he criticized him for not welcoming him by anointing his head with oil. And so when that was a common practice, if you were going to welcome someone, you would anoint them with oil. Anointing with oil could have also been a healing imagery. If a sheep got bruised or scratched or hurt, sometimes there would be a healing oil or balm that the shepherd would put on it. Anointing was also a sign that God had called you for a special purpose. David was anointed with oil when he was called to be the king of Israel. So to say today that you, as you sit down to table with God, again, anytime, anywhere, wherever you're listening to this, there's a table being spread for you right now. And God wants you to know this. One, that you are welcome. You are welcome and you belong at his table. Two, that there is healing, that God's presence alone can provide healing for your soul, for your body, for your mind, whatever it is that you need. And third, that God may have a special call upon your life. He may be calling you to a ministry, to a job, to some type of adventure. God may be setting you apart for some kind of special work for his kingdom. So that's what the anointing represents. It represents that you're welcome, that you are called by God. It's a sign of his presence. It's for healing as well. And then it talks about my cup overflowing, which is just really cool because, you know, it's like, it's not just that your cup gets filled, but your cup overflows. You know, that's like too much. It's like spilling over. It's like abundant, extravagant, like more than you need, more than you maybe even want, more than you think is necessary. It's just like, it's amazing, the extravagance, the abundance of God. And I believe that God puts this language all throughout scripture, and yet we miss it. We miss the idea that he wants to bless us above and beyond. You know, we're always saying, just give me enough, Lord, or just give me a little bit, you know, and God certainly gives us what we need at the time we need it. But there's a part of God that just is overflowing with the blessing. The book of Ephesians says that God blesses us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh my goodness, every blessing. I mean, God just wants to overflow in our lives. It says that he can do exceedingly more than all we can ask or even imagine. Isn't that amazing? God can do more than we could ask or even imagine. He's just such a good God. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. We're like, oh, God, you're not providing. My cup seems empty. I seem empty. God, where are you? And there is sometimes a period where we need to wait. We need to wait because God will bring it at the right time. God's timing is always right. But we also have to trust that not only will he bring it at the right time, but he'll bring more than enough of what we need. And this is just my thought, something I've been playing around with, that maybe we don't experience the overflow until we're willing to give to others, until we're willing to minister. Because, you know, what's the purpose of just, you know, spilling a bunch of juice on the table? You know, I mean, if our cup's overflowing, I think it's so that we can give to others. So say it's joy. We feel like we have a cup and we're kind of dry and there's not much joy in our life. Well, God can fill us with joy, certainly, to the extent that we need it, and his joy fills our life. But he can also overflow it so that when we're ready to share that with other people, we have some of God's joy to be able to share as well. Maybe even with those so-called enemies that sit down at the table with us. And then, of course, we remember, you know, if we can get to the point where we trust and believe that God's goodness and his love will follow us forever, 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 you know, then we're walking in the presence of God. Then we're experiencing just amazing things in our life. And not only that, not only for the rest of our lives here on earth, but after we die, we'll be with God as well. Because we know that death is not the end, you know. Gandalf said it so well in Lord of the Rings. He said, death is not the end, it's just another path, one that we all must take. He said, the gray rain curtain of this world pulls back and all turns to silver glass. And then you see it, white shores and beyond a far green country under a swift sunrise. You know, the only true enemies we have are death, death and sin and Satan and the evil forces. They're not people. They're not each other. And Jesus has defeated all true enemies. He's defeated death. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated sin and all of its consequences. And we serve a risen, victorious Savior who has more than enough of everything that we need, who welcomes us to sit at his table, and not only welcomes us, but it encourages us to extend the invitation to everyone else. That's why at Hartford City Church, we welcome all. That's why we love all and we serve all. So if you come to Hartford City Church, if you become a part of this community, it's a place where you should know that you are welcome, where you know that we will love each other from the heart and with the love that God gives us. And we will serve everyone whose cup is empty. We will serve. We will pour into their cup the fullness of God. And in so doing, really enjoy God's presence together. So wherever you're at today, I hope you can take something with you from this. Maybe you're in a difficult circumstance and you can take away the fact that God is with you. God, just say, God, would you throw out that blanket right now and just let me experience your presence. If you need to know that you're welcomed, if you need to be healed, if you need to know that God has a special plan for your life, then think about your head being anointed with oil, you know, and receive that promise from Scripture today. And if your cup's empty, you can stop and pray right now that God would fill your cup. And I believe in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that not only will your prayer be answered in this moment, but God will overflow into your life, give you much more than you need. So that's the table. That's the table of God's blessing and his provision. It happens sometimes in strange places, but the point is it can happen anytime, anywhere, and that his anointing and his filling of our cup to overflowing is something that God delights in doing. So thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope you can join us at Hartford City Church. Our website is hartfordcitychurch.com. We have a Facebook page you can follow as well. And keep following these podcasts. God bless.